Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Canadian Energy Services and Technology Corporation conference call and webcast with respect to the recently announced results for the first quarter ended March 31st, 2015. Presenting for the company today will be Mr. Tom Simons, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Craig Nieboer, Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised this call is being recorded. A question and answer session will follow at the end of the presentation. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Craig Nieboer, Chief Financial Officer of Canadian Energy Services and Technology Corporation. Please go ahead, Mr. Nieboer.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for attending the call. Before we start, I would like to note that in our commentary today, there will be forward-looking financial information and that our actual results may differ materially from the expected results due to various risk factors and assumptions. These risk factors and assumptions are summarized in our Q1 MD&A, our Q1 press release, and our recently filed annual information form dated March 12, 2015. In addition, certain financial measures that we will refer to today are not recognized under current generally accepted accounting policies, and for a description and definition of these, please see our Q1 MD&A. At this time, I'll turn it over to Tom Simons.
Good morning. Thank you, Craig. We'd like to thank callers for calling in for our Q1 call. What we're going to do is provide an operations update. I'll do that. We're going to talk a little bit about additional capital expansion plans that we are going to pull the trigger on this year and why. And we'll give some financial information and then answer questions. I'm going to start with the drilling side of our business. Down in the States today, we're running about 85 jobs. Probably more importantly, it looks like we're bottoming out there. We could see, we believe, as many rigs starting to hit the pending or about to go back to work in the next couple months list as rigs that are expected to go down. So we think, you know, maybe we go as low as 75, maybe even 70 jobs, but we may be able to keep it above 80 depending how customers react to oil pricing today. We've remained very active in the Eagle Ford. We've remained active in the Northeast U.S., and we've remained active in the Permian. I'd like to highlight that in the Permian, we've added some new customers over the last year because of some new technology we brought to the company a year and a half ago through a royalty arrangement with an inventor. For people that know us a bit, the mud terminology is MMH. It's a water-based fluid that we've had a lot of repeatable success working for one of the majors drilling horizontals. It's allowed them to drop a string of intermediate casing in West Texas, which is ringing the bell for them because it makes the well cheaper to drill. Like to add that we're also drilling the horizontal section of those wells with our clay-free invert. So it's a polymer that we can viscosify or thicken the oil-based mud with. The absence of the clay allows it to drill faster, and we can achieve a little bit superior hydraulics, so better hole cleaning. We see some room as people put rigs back to work in the areas where this has application. We see some room to take some work from our competitors with that technology. It's a good reminder to us that we constantly bringing new ideas to customers to stay a step ahead of our competitors. On the Canadian side, we're sneaking up on 25 jobs today. Q2 has been very slow for us, and I would imagine all service companies in Canada. We think that we're going to be able to retain our share of the Canadian market in Q3, Q4, which is roughly a third. Might be a little better, might be a little worse, depending on which customers go back to work. We can see our way to running as many as maybe 75 jobs in Q3 if things line up for us. But, you know, we understand that the drilling guys may think they've got work coming up and management may not actually pull the trigger on that at our customers. To achieve those numbers, we need there to be decent activity in the Bakken. And we need people to continue to drill the Montney and Duvernay and other West of 5 and 6 plays that you're hearing customers talk. We don't think it'll be spectacular, but we do think it's going to allow us to make money. and maybe as importantly, long-term, it allows us to keep our team intact so that when there's a recovery, we've got the experts in place that can help us win and retain the business that we want to be able to do. I'll move over to the production specialty chemical side of the business. PureChem and JChem continue to take market share. It's kind of a lifesaver for our business when we look back 2-3 years. As people know us and know our story 4 or 5 years ago coming out of 2008-09, we recognized that we needed to get vertically integrated to defend this large retail mud business we had built in Canada over the previous decade. That's what's led us to become a manufacturer and supplier of chemistry to our customers at the wellhead. We're selling now to frac companies and, happy to add, increasingly selling to pipelines. And I'll go into some detail on that. We see a lot of upside for PureChem and JChem in the next couple of years. Obviously, the more the production grows for North America, the better that macro environment is for us and people in our business. But we see significant upside because of consolidation by Halliburton Baker. We think that's going to create opportunity for us. We see new problems developing out of formations that are just starting to be multi-stage fracs. So that presents an opportunity to solve problems, use our scientific capabilities, which is probably a good segue to where we're going to spend some additional CapEx. We've committed to ourselves and to shareholders that we're going to constrain CapEx unless we've got something that's a clear line of sight to new business or something that's so strategic in nature and maybe only available then that we need to act. We think we've got a line of sight to new business for PureChem and JChem. That is why we're going to create R&D lab capabilities in Calgary, in Houston, and service lab capabilities in Midland. We could scare $10 million Canadian putting those together. We think that helps us hold what we have. We think it helps between what's based out of Kansas today for R&D and what we think we can do with centers in Calgary and Houston where we think we can attract top talent. We think those three places together can continue to allow us to bring new products to market and importantly solve regional problems. In Calgary, we need to focus on sour production. We need to focus on corrosion. In Midland, for service, we need to focus on water and paraffin problems. In Houston, there'll be, of course, a host of projects that we can work on. Importantly, we think that we can find the talent that can get us the outcome we need under JChem and Dave Horton in Calgary's sort of guidance and supervision. So that's something that we're going to start acting on. We've already got space leased in Calgary. In Houston, it can just be an expansion of our mud lab. And in Midland, we're going to place the lab on land that we already own and have finished and kind of had put the brakes on upgrading as a stock point for mud, but we're going to go ahead and finish putting a lab in there. So really it's the cost of the building and the equipment. We have the personnel inside the company that know how to do these things. On an operations side, for JChem, we are continuing, as I said, to grow market share. Discounting that we started a couple months ago has helped us retain the clients that we have in JChem. We haven't had any significant losses based on price or on anything operational. So happy to report that we've kept the clients that we've built the business with. We've had some very nice new wins in West Texas on production chemicals. To remind people, this stuff doesn't come on overnight like a drilling rig where you mix $10,000 a day of product. The incumbent, their product's on location, that product needs to be consumed, and then we come in and we start applying our chemistry and our people start servicing the wellhead. So in the coming months, we'll start to see growth both in sales and contribution of profit in West Texas from new business that we've been awarded. We've also had some really nice wins just in the last week or two on pipelines. We've been able to problem solve for some midstream operators. These aren't E&P companies. They're big pipeline companies that we're winning business from. Starting about 2 years ago, we built a technical team to pursue the midstream market, and that's now starting to pay us back with significant new business. And that is very recurring business, so it's a nice win. Also happy to report that frac sales are starting to come back. They're smaller than they were, say, through Q3, Q4, certainly better than the zero that we had from the middle of February to the end of March. So we think that our frac customers probably depleted floor inventory, we would call it, what they had on hand. And now that they're seeing some activity from their customer, they're prepared to step into inventory. But it makes sense to us that they wouldn't buy product from us when the talk amongst all the people in the financial world was nobody's completing anything they're drilling. So I think if you're a provider to that space, you probably want a skinny. So that is making a contribution. It's not as good as it was. But eventually all these wells will need to be completed, and we think we'll have a part in that. In Canada, most important thing to report about PureChem is the recruitment of some really good people. We've had significant new talent join us. That is helping us grow our market share. We're winning business with the help of those folks. We've had a very nice win in the SAGD market. That's kind of a milestone for us. Last summer, as people may know, we acquired a small company specifically to get their technology that's allowed us to enter the H2S scavenging market there. We've got business on a wider sort of spectrum of chemical treatments now in the SAGD market with this new customer, and we think that's going to be hopefully a sign of things to come for us. Just like in the U.S., we see a lot of upside with consolidation of our competitors. Baker has done a really nice job over the years of building a good culture in their chemical company. Not a lot of people left that group. We think there may be some opportunity to find some people that don't have a place there through this consolidation or decide that they don't want to be there. So we like our chances to find people. We also think out of that consolidation, there's going to be some customers looking for other options. The Canadian market to us looks like two really big guys owning the whole market, us chasing them down. We like that position. That's part of why we're going to increase our lab capabilities in Calgary. And, of course, for people that don't know, we do have full-service capabilities in Carlisle, where we manufacture the products and can provide some service support out of Calgary, where we have a mud lab today. On sort of an update on the state of the industry for our business, we believe that our downsizing is complete. We may rationalize a few warehouses in the U.S. where we don't have enough activity out of a certain stock point, and we can just normalize some trucking and save some money on overhead. But in general, we see more upside in activity than downside coming down the pipe at these oil prices. Of course, if prices go the other way, then we'll be able to react and rationalize things that we need to. But the message that we have given our people is we're where we think we need to be. We're going to ask you to trust us. We're probably going to ask you to keep doing a little more for a little less, but that's what it's going to take to retain this business. We think that when a recovery happens, keeping our people is critical. These are experts. We've invested a lot in building the team that we have. So for us, the success of our business in the future isn't that we do this with a whole lot less people. It's that we do it with the people we have and then continue to build a bigger team of scientists around it and people that can either apply the chemical or sell it or invoice it or work in labs to refine new products. We think that we have significant organic opportunities in a recovery environment. We are certainly, though, looking at other ways to accelerate growth of the business. I'll add for people's benefit that when we went through this in 2008-09, we were a small company, just drilling fluids, just Canadian-based. We were just trying to survive. We had PE firms trying to privatize us, but we sure had no PE firms shopping their investments to us. So I can't say that we knew this would be coming, but what we're seeing is we're getting opportunities to look at ways that maybe we can expand sales channels for the company. We are very confident that we can grow this business materially in the next 3 to 5 years organically. So we would only act on something that we really like. We don't know if we'll do that, but it's nice to be in a position to be able to look at stuff. Craig's going to give everyone a financial update, but I'll take a little bit of your thunder, Craig, and let people know that we're totally out of our line right now. The drawdown in working capital really does happen for an inventory business. So we have a fabulous balance sheet. I think savvy owners of companies can see that. Maybe we're a nice place to park something and then ride the price of oil back up with us. But we're only going to act on things that we're very confident that one and one becomes three, because we can get there on our own without issuing any more stock. So wanted to give people an update on that. And then I think I'll turn it over to Craig.
Thanks, Tom. I'm going to start off by just highlighting that, as you saw in the press release, we added a new director yesterday, a gentleman named Mr. Phil Sherman, a highly respected individual in the Calgary business community. He's on the board currently of Mullen Group and Parala Energy Trust as well. He's a chartered accountant with an illustrious 30-year career at KPMG, so we're very fortunate to add him to the board. It's a reflection of the continued expansion and growth in the complexity of our business, and we look forward to working with Phil over the years to come. So welcome, Phil. As far as the quarter goes, pretty reasonable quarter, I think, in light of the extreme industry conditions that we're under. Revenue is relatively flat year over year, Q1 to Q1, at $2.8 million versus $231.3 million from the previous year. It's detailed in the MD&A, but really it's a result of JCAM and PureChem continuing to grow in the market. AES drilling fluids was relatively flat quarter to quarter despite a slowdown in drilling activity, and that's really based on some of the high grading of the work by our customers as the wells have been longer, deeper wells to work on, which were better revenue per day wells for us. Obviously, for AES, Q2 saw a continued fall off in rig count, so the ability to stay flat year over year for AES obviously is not possible in this declining rig count in Q2, but very impressive results for them in Q1 in light of industry conditions. And then Canadian drilling fluids, nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, down with respect to the overall rig count. And as Tom mentioned, we should be a long and deep breakup, but we are positioned to take advantage of things as that breakup turns around. Just don't know exactly when that is. And then the other advantage to our earnings is our U.S. dollar-based revenue. Obviously, two-thirds or almost 70% of our business is in the United States, and we get to translate those dollars at the favorable exchange rate, which I also remind people that, our key obligations of interest and dividend are Canadian dollar denominated, which, is a natural hedge in these downturns as the Canadian dollar tends to weaken when oil prices weaken. As a result of all that, EBITDAC was slightly down year over year of $41 million versus $43.5 million. But once again, I think very reasonable results in light of very tough industry conditions. As Tom alluded to, our balance sheet is in great shape, thanks to the combination of positive Q1 results and, as Tom mentioned, the other natural hedge in being a CapEx-like consumable chemical model, being the return of working capital to the balance sheet. As Tom was talking about, the draw on our operating line is positive, net positive today. We were $36 million drawn at March 31st. We reported the MD&A $5 million drawn at April 30th. We are now in positive territory. We'll probably stay in that positive territory through most of Q2, and then as the ramp-up, hopefully, of activity in the back half of the year takes place, we will probably enter the line again and to buy inventory to sell it and turn it into EBITDA, obviously. Just to highlight as well our obligations, within analyst expectations, and no, we haven't given guidance, so I will use the analyst expectations today on EBITDA ranging between $106 and $130 million for 2015. We are fully funded on our dividend. Our dividend this year would be $72 million cash. Our cash interest costs are $25 million, and our maintenance CapEx is expected to be $6 million. So we have $103 million worth of obligations that are fully funded by the range of EBITDA expected by analysts this year. And we're very comfortable to say that the dividend is very defendable in this environment. Obviously, if commodity prices went far south from here, that may change. But in the current commodity price environment activity level, we're very confident the dividend is defendable and sustainable. As Tom mentioned, the CapEx, $35 million of expansion CapEx is committed to this year. Tom mentioned some of the projects that have been added. This essentially is funded through a combination of EBITDA that we will generate this year and the return of working capital, which net-net during the year is going to be in the range of $60 million. I will also highlight, due to our financial structuring, you know, at the low end of the analyst ranges, our cash taxes this year will be almost zero. At the high end, you know, they might approach $10 million. So once again, that obligation is covered by our, the earnings we think we're going to generate this year. At this time, I'll turn it over to callers for questions.
At this time, I would like to advise everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Jason Sawatsky with AltaCorp Capital. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Jason.
Tom, so I'll just start off on the pricing side, I guess. Just wondering if you could maybe just quantify the pricing discounts that you experienced in Q1, maybe on both the drilling fluid side and on the production chemical side.
Well, we've stated this before, somewhere in the range of 5 to 7% on the actual consumable product. I think it's really important for people to understand that a typical drilling fluid invoice, about 40-45% of it is the consumable, about 40 or 45% is the refined oil that we turn into drilling fluid. So we change the viscosity, chemistry, density, and then measure it 50 ways to Sunday while it's pumped down the drill pipe to clean the hole out. That stuff is just a pass-through for us. That base oil has come way off in price. The other sort of 10% of the invoice is service, so that's people on location. By discounting that amount, and then you add in the 25 or 30% drop, maybe even a little more, depending what oil you use, you shake that up, the customer's invoice is down north of 10%, maybe even approaching 20%, depending, you know, the ratios of each use. So the cost for drilling fluids for customers has come down in the range that they're reporting to the street. Services have come off. There just isn't that room to give it on the consumable. We're a cost-plus business. I think it actually benefits us that we're public and it's transparent. But that's the range. My call, Jason, on pricing is I think that there'll be a lag on commodity price recovery to sort of drilling completion activity. I think that could take 6 months. And then I believe there'll also be a lag on services getting pricing discounts off the books and back to sort of pre-collapse pricing, maybe as long as another 6 months. If I'm an operator, I'm going to hold the service guy down as long as I can. So we expect that to happen. Anything that's a little better than that is upside for us, but that would be my personal expectation on how this kind of plays out.
Okay, great. And then on the production chemical side, I think, you know, are you still sort of in that 5 to 10% pricing reductions? Is that fair to say?
In the States, in Canada, all of our business is, you know, so new that it's sort of priced in the context of the, call it, spot price.
Okay.
So that hasn't really had a place in Canada. Like the SAGD business we've just won, that's brand new work. So pricing is today's pricing. But in the States, that's the range. 10 might be a little high, but we've certainly, done what the customer needed, which was to give them a break. And what's in it for us is we keep the work.
Okay. And then you sort of touched on this, but now that you're seeing, you know, the fracking-related chemical sales increase again here in Q2, do you anticipate a wave of sales demand here, just given the backlog of uncompleted wells that we've heard about in the U.S.? I think it's, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 wells. Now that the oil price has come up a bit, you know, do you think you see a wave of sales?
No, I don't. I want to be clear that we're not back to sort of say Q4 levels in that side of our business, but from the middle of February to the end of March, it was virtually zero. Mm-hmm. So we're more than zero, but we're a lot less than what was going on. And I think you just look at the public reporting by some of the big independents. Guys are leaving hundreds of wells uncompleted. I'm not as alarmed by this frack log as others. All along, to me, there's a couple well spread between the drilling rig and the frack spread. Mm-hmm. So if you pencil out 1,800 rigs drilling in the States, shouldn't there always be a couple thousand uncompleted well bores just because of logistics? So the idea that this 4,000 number is going to drive the price of oil back down, I could see a little wave of new production coming, but I think a lot of that is just the natural spread.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't expect a tidal wave of frack product. If it comes, we can make it, but I don't think that's happening.
Okay, great. And then just finally, in the U.S., you know, was barite still a bottleneck in the Permian with the reduced activity? And do you think, I mean, I know you're getting close to getting that facility in Corpus Christi done. You know, will that, once that facility is done in late Q3, do you expect to see any increase in activity?
I'm glad you asked. I forgot to touch on barite in our update. We're still on track to have that place finished by the end of summer. And we don't have a bottleneck anymore. There's not enough rigs running for supply of that stuff to be sort of at risk. Mm-hmm. But what will help us is our cost of goods will improve, and it'll improve the most in the Eagle Ford and Permian, which is two of our three hot markets. Can a service guy say there's a hot market? Probably not, but those are places that we're still busy.
Okay.
So that'll be a nice help for those markets. And if the Permian's where things recover, because people can get oil to markets, because people have done enough work in the last couple of years to figure out where they want to drill, how they want to complete, that'll be a very nice tool if the Permian is a market that goes back up.
Right, right. Okay, great. Thanks. That's it for me.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Kammermayer with Clarus Securities. Your line is open.
Oh, hi, guys. You touched on this in your opening remarks about winning new customers in the U.S. with new technologies. I'm just wondering, are customers a little more reluctant now to try new fluid providers, you know, during this downturn, you know, typically sticking with what they know, or is the willingness of them to try the new products to reduce their costs?
Well, on the drilling side, Steve, they don't have any work to give you to try new ideas, but, you know, it's anecdotal, but in both markets, Canada and the U.S., people are very open to hearing about ideas from service companies. I'm not sure they would risk the next drilling dollar to try something unproven, but, you know, our MMH system in West Texas, we've got six rigs running that 24/7. So as people go back to work in that sort of geographic pocket, they don't have to try something new and hope that we knew what we were talking about and it works out. So I like our chances to do that. To me, new stuff can be sold as long as there's some proven results with a customer. If all your results are just in a lab, I think, forget it. You've got to wait until the customer's got enough work going that they're prepared to risk something. So I don't think you'll see unproven frack techniques or drilling techniques happen until prices are better. On the production side, people are all over problem solving. Field people in the customer's operations, you know, they're under instructions to not let wells go down under any circumstance and get operating costs down. So if you can bring something to the party that you can show the offsetting acreage owner is using with success, yeah, you can win new business right now.
Okay, and then maybe just sticking with the production side here. So you mentioned that in the press release anyway that you're looking to gain penetration there through the existing AAS platform. You mentioned before you might look to acquisitions to sort of speed that growth, but in your comments here, it seems like that might be a little further off the table. Is that a fair comment?
I guess what I'm hoping to do is, you know, sort of emphasize that we may not need to do anything. We have massive unused throughput in Kansas to react chemistry. We've got the ability to finish it, so to blend it and turn it into a finished product in Canada. We've got that in West Texas as well. We can make what people need to buy. Our nitrile hydrogenation quaternization processes in Kansas continue to get moved ahead. We'll be live with nitrile probably by the end of this quarter. We don't need to buy capabilities necessarily in manufacturing, but we would look at sales channels. You know, our of most value to us would be treating production or treating pipelines, and then the next thing sort of by order of value would be a way to accelerate selling to fracking. To me, the value of that is kind of like a drilling business. You should expect that it's up and down, and it seems like maybe every few years you might have a bit of a bust because we all oversupply the market. So we want people to know we're looking. We want people who have stuff that maybe they want to put into something to know we're here to look at stuff, but we don't need it, so we'll only act if we're really confident that what we get will go up later.
Great. Thanks. That's all I had, guys.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Bhakti Pani with Euro Pacific Capital. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Just kind of curious to know, in your prepared remarks, you did mention about opening up the lab facilities in Calgary, Houston, and Midland. Was just kind of curious to know, the lab that you are planning to open, what kind of opportunities are you seeing and how big of the opportunity is for you guys to open three labs, and how soon can do you think you can get returns on the investments?
Well, I don't know if I can give you a financial sort of return on investment analysis, but in the Canadian market, you know, third-party estimates are that the production specialty chemical market is something a touch over $1 billion a year. So for us, the upside for PureChem to take 5 or 10% of that market is massive. And in the U.S., you know, that market is orders higher. We need a lab in Midland to service the work that we either already have or are in the process of being awarded. And in Houston, we don't necessarily, you know, we have the capabilities to do the R&D in Kansas, but we think that we can attract more talent out of a bigger oil field center like Houston. We already have a very significant lab there for our drilling business. So what we're going to do is just expand the size of that lab and then add some more scientists. And there'd be equipment there that's more specific to production than drilling chemistry. But the upside in it is massive, and the spend on those three, you know, probably doesn't exceed $10 million.
Okay. Also, the problem solving that you mentioned, could you maybe, you know, elaborate on the problems that you're referring to?
Yeah, we're finding economic ways for customers to deal with H2S. We're finding economic ways for customers to deal with corrosion, with paraffin problems. The new business we want in the oil sands is around solving emulsion problems. So it's things of that nature.
Okay. And also, you did mention that you have won awards in the pipeline business. Was just kind of wondering, do you, at this point, given the current condition, what kind of opportunities are you seeing, and how do you think you can maybe, you know, grab more market share or win more business in the pipeline?
2 years ago, we built a technical team to pursue that market. When we acquired JCHEM, one of our observations was that JCHEM had corrosion control chemistry that we felt had been undersold. I think that's part of why JCHEM wanted to put their business with our business. They saw that we had a bigger sort of reach into more customers across a bigger geographic market. And that's been sort of a plan that's worked out for us. We've brought in people that are experts in pipelines. We've trained them to our science. And then we've continued to work on other products that can solve problems. We had a new win around solving an H2S problem for someone in a pipeline. So it's, I mean, each account, each situation is unique, which is why we think it's money well spent on these labs. That's why a business like ours needs to invest in people that us guys out on the front lines bring the problem into the scientist and we solve it. The scientist doesn't work in isolation, come up with a molecule, and then hope that someone can sell it. It's the other way around. I hope that answers your question.
Yes. Just one more. If you have to quantify today, you know, in a percentage term, how big of the, you know, midstream market would account to your total sales?
We don't segregate those numbers, and we don't plan to start. I'm sorry.
No worries. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I will turn the call back over to Mr. Tom Simons for closing remarks.
Well, we'd like to thank people for calling. And then probably a little more importantly, we want to thank our customers for sticking with us through this. We understand that you guys are getting pinched. We're going to be there as your partner when it's down, and we hope that you take us along for the ride when it goes back up. And to our employees, thanks for trusting us. We've had to make some tough choices. We've had to let some quality people go. We hope to be able to bring those people back. But for the people that are here, we think that our plan's going to work, and we think we're going to act on opportunity and improve your opportunities at our employees. With that, I'll wrap up the call and say thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.